when the healing is not complete or perfect? And the answer is, yeah, you really don't have any choice. If you wait until things are perfect, you'll wait forever. In fact, I believe that in the testifying, in what you're just doing right now, that this is part of the healing process, that if we wait until we are perfect before we minister, we will never minister. I'm back to some of the things that I have said here before. I remember when Jerry Falwell said the other night that Jim Baker was not fit for the ministry. And the question that I ask is, who then is fit for the ministry? Who is fit to testify? Do you wait until the healing? No, you don't wait, because the healing never will be perfect. There's always something wrong in you. But health comes in doing what you're doing. And God blesses as you step out in faith. And what you have done tonight is a step of faith, and God will continue to open the doors. Now, the other thing, you have made reference tonight, and we've heard it from two others, concerning a word of knowledge. And I want to take just a minute and share with you because we don't do this kind of thing very often, but just to play a little bit on what Cindy LeBeau has just brought up here, that the Scripture talks about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and that one of those manifestations is a message of knowledge in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge. Now I'm going to use the first of those manifestations right now in explaining to you the second of those manifestations right now. I'm going to use this message of wisdom, which is something that the Lord has worked through me on occasion to share with you the explanation of the second of these manifestations. Now, the word is oftentimes used in the Scripture. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and that's really the wrong word to use here. These are not gifts of the Spirit. They are not given to. We've talked about Curry Vaughn having had a word of knowledge, or Jimmy Smith having had a word of knowledge. Those are not gifts. Those are simply manifestations of the Spirit. That's evidence of the fact that the Holy Spirit is working through an individual. That's not a gift that a person has. If it's a gift that a person has, then he has it forever. But if the Spirit is simply manifesting himself through that, then it will come oftentimes in one of these areas. And in this particular case, when this is done in an open service, when a group of people have met together, as we have tonight, and we recognize the presence of God, we recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we recognize the power, the contemporary power of His Holy Spirit, and we're open for that Spirit to flow and to work in our midst, then a number of supernatural things will happen which seem to be very natural when they take place. They'll not be the goosebump kind of things that take place, you know, where the trees all shake and everybody's hair stands on end. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. It may happen occasionally. I'm talking about very natural kind of things where somebody will say, you know, it seems to me that there is somebody out here who, and that's what we're describing. This is this word of knowledge that God gives, that there's, I have knowledge that something is taking place, that God wants to heal somebody, or that God is healing somebody. I spent a number of years, as some of you know, traveling with and investigating and researching the ministry of a woman by the name of Catherine Kuhlman, who had a very powerful ministry in this area. She was open in public services, and a number of people called her a faith healer, but she was not a faith healer. She did not operate in that. All she had was an openness to the Spirit, and oftentimes in a meeting the word of knowledge would manifest itself, and there would be a praise service, a marvelous kind of praise service, where people would begin to sing, and there would be faith that they would come expecting God to work, and then she would simply come to the front and stand up and say, I discern that there is somebody back over here who is being healed of. And the healing has taken place, and if you will stand up and claim that healing, it'll be manifested in your body. Now that's what You did. You claimed that kind of thing, and then you claimed it again, and that's fine. If it's working, I'd like to nail that thing down so that it didn't come up. I mean, sometimes both ends need to be nailed down, and that's all that was happening there, and that's all that you were doing. You were claiming something. There's no magic in this. It is simply a very supernatural thing that seems to take on a natural way of doing where God begins to work with. And it doesn't necessarily have to happen in a service. It can happen in a relationship of any kind where you will meet with somebody and God will begin to work through you and give you an indication of what He is doing in some area. You have knowledge that is beyond yourself out in this world in which we live. That is a word of knowledge. That's a message of knowledge. And that's what we have heard described here tonight. That doesn't necessarily have to come in an open service. It can come in any way that God wants to work through you in your relationship with someone else, or even in your relationship with yourself, where the Lord will give you knowledge that He is doing something. Has that happened to some of you? Have some of y'all had that kind? Yeah, a number of you have. Oftentimes I'll have it for myself. I will have a word of knowledge that God is getting ready to do something with me, or He is doing something with me right now. I'll have knowledge of that. Not because somebody has come and told me. I'll just know in my knowing place. And that's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit who is working in me. So I encourage you. I encourage you to bless one another with it. I encourage you to bless yourself with it at the same time. Okay, we're gonna take time for one more. If there's anybody else who... Okay, right on.
I didn't plan on speaking tonight. I don't know if I can.
Tell you what, why don't you speak to me? Look at me. You're not speaking to any of this other crowd, okay? Just talk to me. Yeah.
Tomorrow I have an appointment with the cardiologist, and there's been several words of knowledge that have been spoken out in the last few years that I felt like the Lord was saying that I should go up and claim a healing for my heart. And I just can't seem to shake the symptoms year after year. Sometimes I can stand in faith and for a few months it'll be okay, and then some months out of the year and some days it's really hard. My heart starts acting up and things. It gets me physically. I get real weak, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's spiritual or if it's physical. I've been to several doctors, and nobody's ever been able to find out what's the matter with me. One time when I was in nursing school, I had a doctor put me on some medications, and they did just the opposite of what they were supposed to do. And so he just threw his hands up and said, "I don't know what's the matter with you." And so I forgot about it, and I just kept claiming a healing, and occasionally, like I said, I'll be strong and the symptoms will subside. And I've had counseling both ways. I've had some counselors say, "Stand on that." And then I've had other people say, "Well, if you still have a problem, then go see." And I don't know what to do, really. I have an appointment tomorrow to go see again. Half of me says I'm throwing my money out because nobody's ever been able to really find out what's the matter with me. But I just would like prayer because the symptoms have never subsided, and physically, it makes me very weak, and it's scary when my heart does that.
I'll respond to you because I believe that God is using the medical profession in a number of ways. All the medical scientists do is discover natural laws that God has already put into effect here anyway. And so it's a very honorable and noble thing to discover the natural laws that God... But the medical profession, like any of the rest of us, has no healing power. All they can do is talk to you about natural laws. And we need to understand that. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with being diagnosed. We need to understand that if they can help you with that, then that is fine. But God is the healer, and I think that God would like to heal you quite independently from the doctors. I think he'd like to save you some money, for one thing. And I think that he would like to get the glory for it at the same time. So there's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with the examination. I think that's perfectly in order. You know that there's something wrong, and all he's going to do is to help define that which is wrong. The devil would like to kill you. I think we need to understand that. He is a murderer, and he would enjoy killing you. I think he would enjoy debilitating you more than he would enjoy killing you. I think he would like to cripple you. I think he would like to put you out of commission. I think he'd like for you to suffer. I think that's what he would really like to do. And so we will stand against that, and we will stand for your perfect healing. Again, back to the scripture. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. So we're going to trust the Lord to do that. We've got some elders here, and I think we'd like to pray for you. Jack Taylor said something very interesting this morning. I've spent a little time with this fellow this last week, and he didn't mention this at the early morning service, but at the close of the second service this morning, he just made a fleeting reference to John 10:10, and I just want to kind of put a closing twist on this thing tonight, and then we're all gonna break and go home. But I want to leave you with a thought. As we get ready to do that. But in the 10th chapter of the book of John, the 10th verse, the reference that he made at the very close of his message in the second service this morning was the message that so many of us are familiar with, where Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and they may have it," the King James says, "more abundantly," and the version that I have here, the New International Version, says, "to the full." That you might have life to the full. But Jack's reference this morning was that you really can't understand that unless you look at the first half of that verse. And the first half of that verse says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have it to the full," or more abundantly. There's an interesting verse over in the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs that I don't want you to look at. You'll just have to bear with me for a few minutes, where Solomon admitted that there are three things, and then he corrected himself, and then he says there's four things that he couldn't understand, that even mystified King Solomon, who was supposedly the wisest of all men. And he says that those four things were the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And he says those are the four things that just defy all description. The early Christians, following the visitation of the Holy Spirit in the first century, interpreted that in a very interesting way. And the more I have thought about that, the more I believe that they really did have the correct interpretation of what Solomon was talking about, that he said that the way of a man with a maid really refers to Christ's relationship with his church, and that the way of a ship in the sea refers to the mystery of God's preservation of his people, of a providing for them across the centuries, and that the way of the serpent on the rock is a reference to Jesus' victory over Satan, and that the way of an eagle in the air is the kind of life that you and I are called upon to lead when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. That we are called to lead the life of the eagle. The eagle being the king of all the birds, and the eagle being the one who is able to fly without effort, and the eagle being the one who is able to see with the eye of God. An eagle flying at 20,000 feet in clear air can see for 40 miles. Can spot a lamb 40 miles away, can spot a snake on the ground 40 miles away, can spot the eaglets back in his nest in a 40 mile. That's how sharp the eye of the eagle is. And so the way of the eagle in the air basically referring to the fact that we are called to be a different kind of people. We have different abilities than all of the others who are there. And so when it comes down to this concept in John 10:10, that Jesus says, I've come not only that you can have life, but that you can have it for the full, that you can have it more abundantly, he's talking about the restoration of that which was ours originally, which has been stolen by the thief. Where he says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the reference Jack made this morning, which was such a powerful reference, was that what Jesus does is he gives back that which has been stolen. And he resurrects that which was killed. And he reconstructs that which was destroyed. Where the thief comes to kill and, to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus comes to give, and he comes to give life and resurrection, and he comes to reconstruct. It all boils down to the fact that we have authority. We have been given authority through Jesus Christ. And the problem is that we have substituted the world's methods in finance, in obtaining wealth and obtaining health and in obtaining happiness. We have substituted the world's methods to that which God has already planned for us. In the 24th Psalm, the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then what right does the devil have to it? He doesn't have any right to it. But we have given him that right by relinquishing our own right. It belongs to God. It is God's, and God has given it to us. It now belongs to us. So all we do is take that which is already given. It is legally ours. It becomes a matter of legality. That healing is legally ours. That life is legally ours. That happiness is legally ours. That provision is legally ours. God has given it to us. It belongs to us. Now, however God wants to give that out to us is God's business. It'll come in many, many varied ways. As many varied ways as Jesus healed the sick, so healing comes to us. But today, there is no set formula. In as many ways as Jesus touched and provided, so there are ways that God will touch and provide, even today. But I want to encourage you tonight, as we get ready to go out of here, to take that which God has already given to you. That Satan has no right to your health. He has no right to make you sick. He makes you sick only as you allow him to make you sick. He has no right to make you poor. You're poor only as you allow Satan to make you poor. He has no right to destroy your home or to destroy your life or to destroy your business. That we have the right and the legal authority to stand against that kind of thing and to simply say, this is who we are in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, not only life, but I've come to give it to the full. Give it to you abundantly. Now, how does that translate down, Dan, into where you are? With your need, or Cindy, where you are with your need. It translates down that we can step in and we can do things in the world's ways, and God will oftentimes bless that, but there is a higher way to do that. And the higher way is to trust in God. The higher way is to let God. We make our needs known to God and to God's people, and then we step back and we say, Lord, we're going to let you work this out. We're going to trust you. We're going to take whatever comes, and we will take it with joy, and we will receive it with joy. But God is our source. And when we recognize God as our source, then God begins to bless us in those areas. It's as simple as the word. It's simple. Our problem is that we hear that, and we nod in agreement because this is a very churchy thing to say. And then we go on about our business. And we go on and drop right back into the culture from which we come and allow these things to come roaring in against us. And there comes a time when we simply need to stand up and say, Satan, I will not allow you to do this. I will not allow you to take my life. I'll not allow you to take my health. I'll not allow you to take that which God has already promised to me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And the scripture is very plain. When you rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, he flees. That's all. He simply can't stay. Jack was very explicit about that this morning. When he calls you on the phone and you rebuke him, he'll say wrong number and hang up. Let's stand together, can we? Father, we need your Holy Spirit to be equipped to go into this world that faces us this week. And so I am joining with all of my friends here tonight to say, fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Equip us to do the task that lies before us in Jesus' name. Amen. God give you a good week as you go out.